is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, dear friends. It's great to be with you today. We're going to be continuing our series. In fact, today is going to be the last segment. We're going to conclude with the question, will the Antichrist be a Jew? Will the Antichrist be a Jew? It's fascinating, of course, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came in the flesh, according to Matthew 1, as Emmanuel, God with us. He came to the nation of Israel. Now, that means the people of Israel, and even to the physical nation or state of Israel, but he was not received by the Jewish people except for only a few, including the apostles. And of course, we know that, as the Bible says, of all of those who say they are Jews, there are many which are not Jews at all and are of the synagogue of Satan. For the apostle Paul told us very clearly that circumcision was not of the flesh, but of the heart. And it says clearly in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if ye be Christ's, in other words, if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you're of him, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. So those who claim to be true Jews claim to be heirs to the promise, claim to be Abraham's seed, were not truly Abraham's seed, and their physical circumcision availed them absolutely nothing. And the fact is that they were cursed by God. Unless they repented and accepted the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, but they would have nothing to do with him. In fact, they cried out to the Romans, to Pilate, crucify him. And so we have a terrible situation in which it is evident, the Bible clearly shows, as we've been preaching these last several weeks here at Bible Home Church, clearly the Antichrist, who will mimic, who will counterfeit, who will blaspheme the true Christ, Jesus. Yes, the Antichrist will come from that same race and thus will prove the adage that there is nothing good in man. And my friends, listen to me. The only way you can be without spot or wrinkle is to know Jesus Christ. And if you know him, he's the one who's ironed out the wrinkles. He's the one who has washed you whiter than snow. You don't have the spots. You don't have the stains of sin through Jesus Christ and only him. And this Antichrist who's to come will claim that you don't need Christ. Believe in him. He will claim he is the true Messiah and King of Israel, inheritor of the throne of Solomon and David. He will be the successor to Father Abraham, and he will deceive the multitudes, and particularly the Jews, most of them because they're looking for him. I had a radio show host some years ago, who's a Jewish man. He said, Tex, you and I believe just alike. I said, we do. He said, yes. We both believe in the Messiah. He said the only difference, of course, and that's so minor in his understanding, he claimed, the only difference, he said, Tex Mars, is that as a Jew, I believe in the Messiah to come, and you believe in the Messiah that's already come. And I told him that makes all the difference in the world. We don't believe alike at all. For there is only one name, it says in Philippians, by which we may be saved. And that name is Jesus. Well, he didn't like that at all. In fact, he got just hot under the collar at me. I remember we took a break. I think it was a 2-hour radio program in Houston, Texas. And we took a break and, he was just so angry. He said to me, well, I want you to know, as far as I'm concerned, Jesus should have stayed a Jew and not turned Christian. I said, my friend, he never turned Christian. He never turned anything. He was always what he was, God in the flesh. He said, no, he wasn't God, and he shouldn't have left the fold of Judaism. And I said, he never was in the fold of Judaism. He was God. He didn't have to have a Judaic religion based on the Talmud. And I told this gentleman as nice as I could, the fact was that Jesus did stay a Jew. A spiritual Jew. In fact, he's the head. He's the cornerstone of the true Jew who is not circumcised, who doesn't care about his race. You see, my friends, listen, a Christian cannot possibly be a racist. Because out of many different bloods, Jesus Christ has chosen his family. And he's going to give us the body of his choice someday. Isn't that going to be a shocker? The body of his choice. That's right. You're going to receive an immortal body. This one is going to pass. You can't hold on to it. My friends, you can go down and the people who, you know, freeze bodies after death to try to keep them together, hoping someday that advances in medical science will come about and they can unfreeze the body and cure the person of whatever sickness or disease he or she died from. Baloney. Listen to me. When your body dies, your spirit is gone and you're either in hell or you're in heaven. And that's the way it is. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says that it is appointed for a man once to die. Afterwards, the judgment. You're not going to live again and then die again. No, no, no. You're either going to receive eternal life through being born again in this existence, or you're going to go to hell. And either way, you're going to live wherever you're going forever. Two directions. There is a fork in the road, my friends. Have you reached that fork today? Maybe so. If you've reached that fork in the road, friends, you can go the road that's more traveled or the road that's less traveled. I pray you'll take the less travel. Now, we're going to, as I said, we're going to have that last segment. But right now, we've got a beautiful song. I've always loved this song. And, you know, it seems like almost every other gospel group has to sing this. Southern gospel group has to sing this song. Why? Well, they all love it, just like I do. And if you haven't heard it before, I think you will love it too. It's the lighthouse. And you know, Jesus Christ is the lighthouse, isn't he? And he's greater than this Antichrist to come. He's greater than any force of evil. And I love this song because it points to Jesus Christ. And he is the true. You need to know who the true Messiah is. I know the Jews are looking for another Messiah. That's the Antichrist. Listen to me. They're looking for him and they're going to get him. You look for something, you'll find it, my friends. The devil will put it in play. But what you want to do is look out for that lighthouse. Are you on stormy waters? Your own uncharted seas? Are you having trouble in your life? Things going bad for you? Do you have fears and worries, concerns? Well, don't worry at all. Through the storm, through all of the darkness and the rain, you just look straight ahead. And pretty soon, if you really want to find it, there'll be a lighthouse. Here are the Hensons singing The Lighthouse.
Oh, There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it seems out of life that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us all. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. Everybody that lives around us says tear that lighthouse down. The big ships, they don't sail by this way anymore. Ain't no use it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I seen the light, yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill.
In pagan history and occult history, we find that they would dance there at Stonehenge and have great drunken orgies and revelings there at the time they sacrificed to the devil. And it was called the Dance of the Giants. Now, even the very word dance comes from Dan. The drunken revelings and dances come from the word Dan. Dan, dance. You'll know about that dance of the giants if you read Genesis, where it talks about there were giants in those days. And that was in the days of Noah. And we could talk a lot about those giants and who they were. But many Bible scholars believe those giants, that identification was of dark angels who took to themselves beautiful women. And thus was God angered, and thus came the Noahic flood. In any case, we do know that the angel of the bottomless pit, the king over them, his name in the Hebrew tongue is Abba Dan, or Abba Dan. Now, some people say, Tex, I don't understand. I understood that the great city of Mystery Babylon would be Rome. You're saying it is Jerusalem? Yes, it is Jerusalem. But isn't Rome the city that sits on seven hills, you ask? And doesn't Revelation chapter 17 mention that the seven heads of the beast are seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth? Yes, they are. Did you know that there are three cities? There are actually many, there's several more. But there are three key cities on earth that have seven mountains within their proximities. One city is Rome, yes, the city built on seven hills. Another city, a second city with seven hills or mountain ranges or mountains, is Moscow in Russia. And get this, friends, a third city with seven mountains is the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, seven mountains. Now, verse 18 of chapter 17 of Revelation says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Here was the city that commits fornications with all the kings of the earth. The city known as Mystery Babylon, that great city. Let me read to you what Peter had to say. This is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. He ends his letter in this way. He says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." You know, we can all agree that Peter was the head of the church at Jerusalem. You know what the early Christians called Jerusalem? Babylon. It was so evil. You see, there was Herod. He killed James, the brother of Jesus. Herod, of course, was the one that had his son and had Jesus himself crucified, in that he cast Jesus back off to Pilate. And then Pilate, of course, gave it Jesus over to the people's will rather than Barabbas to be crucified. But here was the wicked city. They had stoned the prophets. They had stoned many of the early Christians and did horrible deeds to them, such as young Stephen, the witness and evangelist, who was stoned there at Jerusalem. They had taken in Peter and the others and taken them in, and the high court, the Sanhedrin, had ordered them not to preach the name of Jesus anymore, and they had beat them. To which Peter replied, "I must obey God and not man." Oh yes, Peter and the apostles all knew that the wicked city was not Rome, but was Jerusalem. And so he said, "The church that is at Babylon salutes you." He was saying, "I'm at Babylon. This is the wicked city wherein, of course, our Lord was crucified." You say, "Do what, Tex?" Yes, yes. You know, one of the things that you have to understand is that Babylon, that mighty city, will be destroyed in the last days. Revelation 18 says Babylon the Great is fallen. It will fall twice. Well, how does that relate to Jerusalem? Do you not remember that Jerusalem fell, just as Jesus prophesied, 70 AD, when Titus of Rome came in and demolished the city, took away the Jews captive? That was the first fall, but now in the last days, Jerusalem, regrettably, will fall again. Now, let's keep going. Did you know that Revelation 18 says of Mystery Babylon, that quote, this is verse 24, "In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all them that were slain upon the earth." Now, this is the chief way, by the way, friends, if you really want to get down to it, if anybody says to you, "Surely Jerusalem could not be, earthly Jerusalem, that is, could not be Mystery Babylon. That's crazy. I've never heard of such a thing." Well, let's get to what the Bible has identified. Revelation 18, verse 24. "And in her," that is, this great city, "was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." What city could that be? Well, let's just listen to Jesus. Matthew 23:35. Here is an astonishing prophecy of Jesus. Jesus talking to the Jews, telling the Jews flat out what their destiny was. He said to them these words, "That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." And by the way, my friends, that word generation there means that race. The generation, that race. Just go to the Greek word there for generation and you will find it means a race of people. "All these things shall come upon the Jewish race," he's saying. The King James Bible has it generation, which is exactly right. And that means the generation. That means the people that were generated. That's how the English people spoke and used the word race at that time. It was generation. Jesus said, upon you may come all the righteous blood upon the earth. He accused the Pharisees of killing the prophets that were sent to them and the righteous men. What does it say in Revelation 18 of Mystery Babylon? And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Well, the same thing here. Jesus is saying that upon you may come all the righteous blood. How much? All the righteous blood. You see, the Jews say we're not responsible for Jesus' death. And if we were, it was very indirect. We didn't do it. The Romans did. We cried out for the Romans to kill him. That's true. But they are the ones that did it. And goodness gracious, friends. In a conspiracy to murder somebody, all the conspirators are equally guilty. You know, Charles Manson didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill anybody. There's no proof whatsoever that Charles Manson killed anybody. But he was convicted of conspiracy to commit murder. He's guilty, just as guilty as his disciples that went out and did the foul, dirty deeds. My friends, read Revelation 18, verse 24, and read Matthew 23, 35, and you cannot but come up with only this explanation. Upon the Jews is the guilt for all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. That's what Jesus said. And in verse 24 of Revelation 18, it says, and her, Mystery Babylon, was found the blood of all that were slain upon the earth. Hey, same wording. There it is. No dispute whatsoever. That's the way it is, friends. You say, well, I thought that Jerusalem was going to be a wonderful city. I didn't know it'd be the city of this horrible king, the Antichrist, who would worship the God of forces rather than the God of his fathers. I never knew that Jerusalem, I thought that was the holy city. Friends, that city was holy until Jesus was slain on the cross. And don't you remember what happened? Oh, my friends, the ark left. Oh, the ark of the covenant was gone. And the veil of the temple was rent. And there was an earthquake. And God's Holy Spirit left. Now, they can build all the temples they want there now. They can build all the synagogues they want. They can be made of the most majestic substances, wood, gold, metal, glass. They can look like 26,000 crystal cathedrals and 98 St. John the Divine cathedrals and 25 St. Peter's. It doesn't matter. All combined, it doesn't matter. God will not reside there. And Jerusalem will be that most wicked city on earth in the last days. And I believe that's exactly where the Antichrist will dwell. What proof do I have? Revelation 11. Revelation 11 says that the two witnesses will be slain in that city. Their dead bodies, it says in verse 8, shall lie in the street of this great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. You understand that, my friends? What city was our Lord crucified? Jerusalem. And what does God, in His holy word, Revelation 11, verse 8, what does He call that city where our Lord was crucified, Jerusalem? Spiritually, He gave it a name. It's called Sodom and Egypt. The two worst names you could get. How would you like to be called Sodom? Egypt. Oh, my friends, but you have to understand that Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem, is not even mentioned in the book of Revelation. Read chapter 1, verse 11. It talks about the seven churches. Jerusalem's not there. It's not there. Well, what about Jerusalem? Oh, my friends, read Revelation 21. There is the holy city. There is a new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem, not the earthly, not the planetary, a heavenly Jerusalem. It's coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, I love this. It says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God shall be with them and be their God. Verse 10 says, and He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Oh, friends, don't get it into your mind that this earthly Jerusalem, this wicked Sodom and Egypt place where the Antichrist will be and dwell and come to power and not worship the God of his fathers and will blaspheme our Lord Jesus Christ as the Jews do today. My friends, Please understand, there's another, a greater city. Oh, yes, the code name is still Jerusalem, but it is the heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 22 says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. My friends, God himself is a temple. Do you understand that? The city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Friends, that's the ultimate, isn't it? Now, friends, what should we do of this knowledge? Yes, the Antichrist will be a Jew. Jesus said he would. Daniel said he would. Revelation reveals that's so. Paul said so in 2 Thessalonians 2. He alluded to it at least. What are we to do about that knowledge? I believe we should pray. We should pray for the Jews. Oh, I believe many of them are going to suffer great tribulation in the last days. Oh, put hatred out of the way. Put dislike. Put despising of Jews out of the way. Love these people. Reach as many as we can in these last days before it's too late. But never, never let anybody call you an anti-Semite for telling the truth, because God's word is truth.
Well, friends, again, this is Tex Mars, and that was the conclusion to our series, Will the Antichrist Be a Jew? I want to encourage you to write us and give us your comments, and let us know, too, if you're praying for us. And if we can pray for you, it would be a privilege and an honor to do so. If there's any prayer need that you have, let us know, would you? Well, until next week, this is Pastor Tex Mars. I appreciate your listening to Bible Home Church. I pray it's been a blessing to you. And tune in next week as we begin an exciting new series in God's majestic word.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.